Ahea o ko e ko ka aha. Inahe kuiana i mua o kea aha o o kolo kolo ki ike e kanohano o ka moku ana o hoi. E nai mai, e malio mai, i lohe i a kaleo. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having any business before this honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii, draw nigh. Give ye attention and shall be heard. I noho i lau. Please be seated.
Please call the case.
Calling case number SCWC-20-487. Kia'iwai o Wai Ale'ale versus Department of Water, County of Kauai. Arguing for the appellant, Kia'iwai o Wai Ale'ale, Bianca Isaki and Lance Collins. Arguing for the appellee, Department of Water, County of Kauai, Naomi Kuai. Also arguing on behalf of the Amiki Kuriai, Hui Ho'opulapula, Navai Opuna, and Sierra Club. Lena Ala Le, argument on the matter.
Good evening, aloha everyone. The court is thrilled to be here tonight in person at the William S. Richardson School of Law and also broadcasting live on the Judiciary's YouTube channel. The counsel for both sides, I understand you're ready to proceed. Just to confirm our allotment of time tonight, Ms. Isaki, you'll start with 14 minutes, followed by Ms. Lay with 7, and then Ms. Kauai for 30 minutes, and then 9 minutes for Mr. Collins. So please proceed. Ms. Isaki.
Good afternoon, Chief Justices, Bianca Isaki and Lance Collins for appellant. We're asking this court to invalidate the county's environmental review of a nearly 2-mile-long, 18-inch transmission line. The county omitted consideration of where this line, of where the water for this line is coming from and where the water is going to. The streams that are the sources for this water line have never been subject to environmental review. Today, we emphasize 4 points. The county turned a blind eye to foreseeable effects and connected actions. It failed its public trust duties. It violated environmental review procedures. And its position that Chapter 54 governing waterworks operates as an exemption from 17158 land board water authorizations is incorrect. To begin, the county insists its transmission line will not increase water usage, storage, or treatment capacity. But their EA contradicts this. It says it's a relief line and its size for future transmission needs. It says it will bring water to 515 acres that are yet to be developed of Grove Farms' Lihue Master Plan. So it's facilitating development and increasing water use.
This is Saki. Is it in the record established that those 500 plus acres have not yet been developed?
Yes, that's in the EA. I can see it. Yes, it's in the EA.
It says that they have not yet been developed.
Yes. It's the build out of it.
And is that the actual current status?
I couldn't tell you currently, but it said that it needed the water, so I would assume not.
So the Waialani project and the Honolulu Triangle project have not broken ground?
I it's on the record, and I'm sorry, I don't know. This is information I could get.
But Ms. Isaki, if I could ask you, if you could help me in terms of whether that's relevant to an analysis of secondary impacts, the fact that there has been a development plan, and I think you're asserting that the development plan in some way is associated with the effort to expand the water delivery system. Is that right?
Yes. Thank you for that question and all your questions. Yes, the build out of the 515 acres that have yet to be developed is a secondary cumulative impact. And the way that they're going to get the water, as we've raised to the circuit courts and everyone's attention, is that they're going to expand the Waiahi surface water treatment plant by 2 to 3 million gallons per day. That plant's a partnership between the county and Grove Farm. The water line's increased transmission capacity is a necessary precedent to treatment plant expansion. So both of those are secondary effects.
Does the record show the current status of the treatment plant expansion?
It shows the contemporaneous status of the plant. when the EA was accepted, because both the EA says it was only 3 MGD, whereas the expansion was the 4.77. And we also submitted a NPDES inspection report, which is dated March 16th, 2018, whereas the EA, it was accepted March 12th, 2018. And that said that the plant was slated for expansion from the 3 to 4.77.
So had, as of the acceptance of the EA, had not yet been expanded, correct?
Yes, yes, that's on the record.
Is that on county property?
The Waiauhi treatment plant, it's not on county property, but
it's on Grove Farm property.
It's on Grove Farm property. Why I said it was a partnership is because Grove Farm, the county pays the energy costs, like they pay for upgrades, it pays for the water to be delivered, and much of this line is actually both on Grove Farm and county property.
And it's my understanding that the EIS for the master development, the 515 acres, is not a part of the record. Is that correct?
No, it's not a part of the record. For the Lehui master plan, they mentioned the Lehui master plan, but then there also isn't really admissible evidence that there is an EA or an EIS. That was just argument by council. So it wasn't part of the declaration or anything.
Ms. Sasaki, the independent utility test in 11200-7 determined when multiple projects are connected. And you had mentioned that it's a necessary precedent to the Waiauhi surface water treatment plant. I'm wondering if we should just focus on independent utility on that 18-inch main line, or we should evaluate whether each of the two projects would have taken place with or without the other. And that's based on the Sierra Club versus the Board of Land Management, the Ninth Circuit's decision in 2015. What is your view on that test, which is different from the independent utility test?
I'm not familiar with the 2015 test.
It essentially asks or analyzes both projects versus just the independent utility of, for example, in this case, the Kapa'ia Cane Hall Roads main 18-inch line.
Well, the latter test sounds like it would be a more comprehensive test. In this case, though, I'd also say the independent utility doesn't apply. And the reason why is because it's an 18-inch main, and they've said that. So part of that might be for relief. We don't know. The hydraulic analysis isn't here. But the empty part, the rest of it, is that's for future transmission needs. And those future transmission needs are that undeveloped part of the Grove Farm lands. And it's going to be, the water's going to come from this expansion of the water treatment plant. So both the independent utility test doesn't apply. And so this other one maybe would. Because both of those, I think, could be analyzed actions. Because of the long-term partnership between county, the county and Grove Farm, the use of county funds.
Can I ask you to give me some of your sense of what the decision of the Circuit Court was with respect to this motion for summary judgment on this issue that is somewhat related to the independent test? And by that, I mean, there's no findings of fact and conclusions of law, but it does seem, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there was a determination made factually that this project is just limited to the installation of the pipe. In that sense, maybe there's an independent utility analysis. But isn't it the case that that was the focus of the Circuit Court, that actually there is no additional draw of water, and therefore this is simply a project that doesn't have a significant impact because of that?
Yes, thank you for that. You raised two important points, both that, there's a dearth of findings on this issue, but then also that what the county represented and what the Circuit Court accepted was that this line wasn't connected to either water sources, or even if it's connected to sources, those sources aren't going to be increased. But we both show that the water treatment plant would expand and that there's connections to the streams. I mean, even the county thought that there was a connection to the stream. That's why, and this is in the
yes, county. But I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it does seem that the county is anticipating that at some point, yes, there will be an additional draw of water, maybe up to an additional 2 million gallons a day. And therefore, why not wait until that time in order to do a complete environmental impact statement and accept the proposition at this point that there's no significant environmental impact?
Well, I mean, sorry, Justice, I apologize for my, just thinking about it.
Why not wait until there is an indication that the development plan is moving forward, they're expanding the development plan, therefore they need more water, and why not wait until that point for an environmental impact statement to be done and a determination that there would be a significant environmental impact at that point?
Well, that would both violate like the statute, which is requiring environmental review at the earliest practicable time. And then also, I would say their public trust duties, because they have to consider the impacts on public trust resources at every stage in decision making.
Are you suggesting it's reasonably foreseeable at this point that there will be such a development?
Yes, thank you. It's both foreseeable for the, in the EA that it's going to happen, and they're accommodating it with the other part of the pipe that's there for future transmission needs. So yes, I think it would be correct to say reasonably it's foreseeable and they should have reviewed it.
Ms. Isaki, why should we require KDOW to assess the environmental impacts of other projects when those assessments and projects have either already been done, such as the Lihue development plan from 28 years ago, which I note that the EA is not part of the record, or the Waiahe expansion, which just happened. Apparently there was an EA there, which also is not part of the record. Why shouldn't we consider those assessments, or alternatively, do sort of what Justice Wilson was perhaps suggesting, waiting to the future for them to do another environmental assessment?
There's a lot of questions. So if I can organize this by why shouldn't they treat everything separate? They shouldn't treat the Waiahe plant separate or the build out of the development separate, because those are all going to line is going to facilitate those, both of those. At one point during the county water board meeting, they said that to do the expansion, we need to put in this line. This line is a trigger for the expansion, or the expansion is a trigger for this line. And in Super Ferry and in Kila Kila, this court talked about, well, if something's facilitating, like the DOT harbor improvements are facilitating the Super Ferry, that's a secondary effect. And
okay,
you have to assess
it. I guess to focus you a little bit more, what are your thoughts on the prior environmental assessment? With respect to the Lihue development plan of the Waiahe SWTP? What's their effect?
If the county wanted to rely on either one of those in this EA, they needed to explicitly discuss it, the determinations and incorporate them, which they didn't. I was not clear that there was an environmental assessment of the Waiahe water treatment plant.
And since that it's not part of the record, we cannot conclude that there was ever any water withdrawal, water diversion assessment. Would that be accurate?
Yes, yeah. There has never been an environmental assessment of the effect of dewatering these streams. And that's one of the reasons why we're here. Well, I mean, they keep pushing this issue down the line. Some of these things they say were grandfathered in, never environmental assessment or an EIS done on the revocable permits for the above diversion. So, yeah. Sorry.
So in terms of the permit issue, so you are pursuing that claim here on appeal, is that right? That this should have been permitted?
Yes.
And there's no record of any permits? And some of these streams, the surface water is from state land.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. So I'd like to discuss it this way. The circuit court, like we're focusing on the circuit court's error, which was that chapter, you know, about chapter 50.
The environmental court.
Yeah, sorry, yes, the environmental court. That they, and when they made their ruling, they said that they're adopting the arguments of the county, which were mostly about chapter 54 to the exclusion and not touching BLNR jurisdiction. But, and I just want to raise that this tension or this perceived tension between 54 and 17158, this court recently decided Carmichael, which concerned Lake Ward water use authorizations, in part used by the Maui Department of Water Supply. At Maui DWS's authority to operate waterworks under Chapter 54, it didn't excuse the upstream diverter for 17158 compliance. Here, there's no permit that covers what the county is using the water for.
You finish. I guess the time we've allotted to you is up, but if you have a couple of thoughts you wanted to wrap up before we turn over to Ms. Lee.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. Yeah, nobody has a land board authorization for this particular use. There's a permit for hydro, and but to the exclusion of other water uses.
Very well. Anything further at this point, or?
I don't think I have time.
Yeah. Okay. You know, again, we don't. I'm sorry to cut you off, but any last points you wanted to raise with the court before we got here from this?
Yeah, please. The 30-day comment period. That was a very clear procedural violation, and if nothing else, that should be a reason. Just de novo review. They didn't give 30 days for that, and they issued the FONSI before that comment period was over. That's my last.
No, you brought up the March 12th sort of conflict of timelines, right? Where you are alleging that there wasn't sufficient time given for consideration of the comments because the statement that by the county was filed on March 12th and they should have waited for more comments to come in. But are there comments in particular that you're concerned about that weren't responded to or that weren't responded to in time?
That's a really good question, but we don't know because they issued the FONSI before the comment period was over. The rule says you have to wait till after comments postmark within the 30 days comes in. And there's no evidence that they were still looking for comments after that period. And like the rushed nature of it, of their FONSI issuance, that was not conscientious environmental review. And in the EA, they're already saying that they're completing project designs in March 2018 and that they were expecting to break ground in mid-2018. So all of those conspired to say that there's no meaningful review.
And what does a relief look like that you're looking for? Do you want to have this remanded so that there would be a supplemental EIS and more time for consideration of comments? Or what essentially is it the relief you're looking for?
Well, yes, on that count, the relief would be to direct that the EA needs to be invalidated because it didn't follow the rules, and they need to follow at least that rule, the 30-day rule.
And is it your position that there should be a finding of significant impact that requires a EIS?
Yes, and the reason why is because that 2 to 3 million gallon per day expansion is significant, and we put in information from the Water Commission staff where they recommended 4 million gallons restoration for Waialae, 0.8 for Waikoko, and that was significant. They said that would substantially improve in-stream uses.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're not looking for a remand for another environmental assessment. You want a remand for a determination that environmental impact statement is necessary. Is that right?
I think that those are both, that those would both be relief. But yes, there was, on that point, there was there's significant impact. So for that one, yes, an EIS would be necessary.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Sock. Mm-hmm. Ms. Lay.
Good afternoon, Justices. May it please the Court.
Please proceed.
This case is fundamentally about two things: government transparency and accountability, and protection of public trust water resources. AMICI focus on three of the legal violations. First, the county violated HEPA by failing to analyze the pipeline secondary effects. Second, by refusing to address the upstream effects of the pipeline, the county also violated its constitutional public trust duty. Third, the county violated Kauai's procedural rights under HEPA by basing its FONSI on documents that were not available to the public. Going back to the secondary effects, the county's own EA admits that installing this pipeline will enable it to convey more water into the Liguway urban area, that this water will be available for Grow Farms' future commercial development. The county's own minutes from 2009 and 2010, which were part of the record before the agency during the comment period, also make clear that this pipeline needs to go in order for Grow Farm to expand the Waiahi surface water treatment plant. And finally, Kia'iwa's undisputed expert evidence shows that the pipeline will expand capacity in the Lihue system by the exact 2 million gallons that we need for the Grow Farm expansion.
Ms. Lee, is there a sufficient showing on the record to establish that there will be these impacts, or are they speculative? That's what the circuit court said. You know, this is speculative. How do we know it's going to happen? There's more room in the pipe, but how do we know that there'll be more water taken?
Well, the record evidence in this case does show that the Grow Farm expansion of the Waiahi surface water treatment plant is going to take place, and then that it's dependent on this pipeline going in. So I would say that is not a speculative future event. It's a reasonably foreseeable event, and the record evidence shows that. And we also, Your Honor, we pointed additionally to Ninth Circuit case law, making the point that even if the court were to ignore the record evidence that the plant needs this pipeline to expand, if a project expands the existing capacity of infrastructure, the agency needs to look at the growth inducing effects of that expansion. The case we cited talked about an airport going from 2 to 3 runways, which is essentially 50% more capacity. Here, this is almost, the pipeline will almost double the capacity of the system.
And Ms. Clay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what do you mean in terms of the duty to conduct a relevant, if you will, analysis of the project that's being anticipated by the increase of the capacity for water transmission? Are you speaking of analyzing a project with the 2.3 million gallons of additional water in mind that might be supplied? Are you referring to a project that's of a lesser scale, assuming that it is true that there's reasonably foreseeable that there is a project? What project is it that needs to be analyzed through this environmental impact statement?
Certainly, I would say on this record, the project that needs to be analyzed as a secondary effect is the expansion of the Waiahi surface water treatment.
But is that it, or are you also anticipating the environmental impact of the project that will benefit from the 2 million gallons a day addition?
Are you, Your Honor, are you referring to the downstream effect of development? We were focused on the upstream effect of more water being taken out of the stream, but if you're asking me if there would be a downstream effect,
all right, well, that's helpful. So you're looking at the environmental impact to the streams.
Yes.
And those are the source streams.
Yes.
As opposed to, if you consider the development plan and the project for the 500 acres, I guess you're clarifying that you're not necessarily implying that the EIS needs to anticipate the nature of the development in that 500 acres and what the environmental impact would be of that.
It would certainly be relevant. Our point is, under Super Ferry, you can't focus just on the footprint of the project. There's a 2-mile pipeline that's going in the ground, but essentially what's happening at either end, you can't ignore that.
I appreciate that point. I'm just thinking about how you analyze either end, and it sounds like you're mostly looking at the upstream effects.
Our client's interest is in the upstream effects on the source water, yeah. So in addition to the secondary effects, again, the record evidence shows that here, expansion of the Waiahi water treatment plant is a reasonably foreseeable secondary effect, and that under Super Ferry it must be disclosed and analyzed in the county's EA in order for it to be able to determine are there going to be any significant effects on the source streams, which it entirely failed to do so here. Additionally, the county was obligated to conduct its HEPA review in a manner that complied with its constitutional duties. This court has repeatedly stated that government agencies have an affirmative duty to take the public trust into account in the planning and allocation of water resources and protect public trust resources whenever feasible. That's Hawaii Springs and Waikoloa. And by failing to consider, let alone justify and mitigate the potential impacts of the Kapaia pipeline on public trust uses of water, the county violated its constitutional duties. There was simply nothing about how much more stream water may be taken out to serve this pipeline and the related growth farm expansion. And finally, with respect to procedural violations, HEPA's entire purpose is to ensure government and public scrutiny of actions affecting our resources before these actions occur. In order to fulfill this policy purpose, the EA must provide the public with the information necessary to evaluate potential environmental effects. Here, the EA relied upon documents that were not available to the public, both in its original analysis and in responding to specific and substantive comments from Kia'iwai. Bridget Hammerquist, the president of Kia'iwai, she submitted comments. Her first comment was essentially asking the county what is going on with this water treatment plant, and it did not directly respond. There was no information in the EA about the status of the expansion, how much water it might need, if this is going to take more stream water. Instead, the county's response pointed her to portions of the 2020 water plan that were not available in the public domain. And also to note from the county's consultation with the Water Commission, but if you look at that actual Water Commission file, it just says we talked to the Water Commission. It doesn't say what the Water Commission actually said. And this is entirely deficient under HEPA because it doesn't allow the public to understand and analyze the information that the county was relying on or how it might affect the resources that they were concerned about.
Sure. You know, Ms. Lane, before you leave us, you know, you had touched upon the Ninth Circuit case, the runway cases, and addressed the stated purpose. Now, what the county is suggesting that its narrow definition of the scope of the project means that it will not increase water diversion or water withdrawal. Aside from channeling that Ninth Circuit case, do you have any other argument about their narrow scope of the project argument and the stated purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I think that allowing the point of that case and citing it was really the Ninth Circuit wanted to look, to force the agency to look practically at the effects of its action, not just to define on paper, this is what we want to look at, this is the scope of the project, it's just the pipeline and it's going in the ground here, but to look at the entire context of the project and what its practical real-world effects are.
And here we have both an applicant and the approving agency being the same person or entity, right? We also have Grove Farm, who, as you've suggested, and it's quite true that they have the Waiahi surface water treatment plant that they receive, from what I saw, about $2 million in revenue from the county per year. Theoretically, they would get more money if more water flows through there. Then Grove also, at the bottom of the stream, has their development. Now, what is the impact, in your view, about the nexus or the connection between Grove and the county of Kauai and Kaidau? I mean, is that something that we should be looking at?
Well, I think with respect to the analysis of the county's public trust duties, it's certainly of commercial end use that the water is being directed towards, and it is relevant. The county seems to be a joint partner to a certain extent with Grove Farm. And my concern would be that, you know, having this private water treatment plant on private lands, potentially evading people review at any other time, passing through the county, this is the time it comes before the county is with this pipeline project. And, you know, when is the county going to, again, when is this going to come before them? Now, under both HEPA and the Constitutional Public Trust, now is the time for the county to look carefully at where that water is coming from. Is it in compliance with all applicable environmental laws and constitutional duties before the projects go further?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lay. We'll hear from Ms. Lay.
Good afternoon, Justices, and may it please the court. I'm Naomi Kauai for the Utility Department of Water Supply, County of Kauai. And with me is Rosemary Bosio, my client, Mahialani Crash. Today, we respectfully request that the Supreme Court affirm the Circuit Court's decisions in favor of the Water Department and affirm the bonds issued by the Water Department for the Relief Line project. Appellant and Amici seek to frustrate the county's efforts to repair and maintain its aging water distribution system that simply involves connecting two existing 16-inch pipes in Lihue with a relief line by arguing, one, the FEA failed to comply with the content and procedural requirements, two, failed to address its impacts on water sources, and three, failed in its public trust responsibilities. All of these arguments fail for the reasons which I will explain. The issue before this court today is whether an EA prepared for its relief transmission line project satisfy the requirements of Chapter 343, Hawaii Revised Statutes and Hawaii Administrative Rules, Title 11, Chapter 200, which is an information disclosure law that allows the decision makers to review the environmental impact of its decision. It is not a decision-making document, rather an information disclosure document. In making a determination regarding whether an EA or EIS satisfies the statutory requirements, the courts are guided by the rule of reason and held that such discussion need not be exhaustive to the point of discussing all possible details bearing upon the proposed action, but will be upheld as adequate if it has been compiled in good faith and sets forth sufficient information to enable the decision maker to consider fully the environmental factors involved and make a reasoned decision after balancing the risk of harm to the environment against the proposed action's benefits.
So what analysis was made in this EA with respect to how much additional water would be flowing through this new pipe?
What the county concluded is because this pipe, which is miles and miles away from the surface water treatment plant that the appellants and Amici parties are asking us to look at, it's miles away. It doesn't change. We're not going to draw more water or less water through the pipe. All this basically does is improve the hydraulic efficiency of
But wasn't one of the purposes of this 18-inch pipe to allow for the Waiahi SDWP expansion? In other words, without this pipe, the additional water that would come through, the additional surface water, would not be able to flow. And I understand that KDOW's water plan indicates for the Lihuepuhi area, it's not just the 3.05 MGD, it's going to 4.07 for 2020 and 5.50 for 2050. So it appears that there is going to be additional water required.
And
it seems like this pipe is for that purpose. I'm wondering how you distinguish the Super Ferry case that says that you have to consider not just the direct impacts, but the indirect impacts of a proposed action.
Sure. And I believe that the environmental assessment did it cited to the land plan and the development plan as referenced by the appellants themselves. And it looked at that, mentioned that the development plan anticipated all this future growth in the area. And while secondary effects of this project will help with the future growth, it's really meant to solve the problems currently, which is inadequate transmission efficiency to supply water to existing residences, to hospitals, and to schools in the area.
But is it also an additional secondary impact or effect or benefit that allows additional water now to flow through? Additional capacity can be extracted from the Waiapi SWTP because of this line. And additional water will now be able to flow to the Lihue-Puhi area. In other words, the existing line would not allow this water to
flow. But the existing line, which is over close to 50 years old, needed to be replaced one way or the other. The problem is that it's near its end of life.
I understand.
And
but you're replacing it with a larger pipe.
Right.
And my understanding is that the FEA does not include a hydraulic analysis as to how much additional water is going to be flowing through that pipe.
Well, what the FEA does do is it anticipates that through system losses, as the pipes get older and older, there'll be system losses. So in order to accommodate those system losses in the future, we have to size the pipe larger to accommodate those system losses.
So I asked this question, I think, of Ms. Isaki, which is, did the plaintiff in the circuit court establish that there was, in essence, a connection or a dependence between expansion of the plant and this project? And she said there was. Do you disagree with that?
I disagree with that. And actually, the court several times below asked the plaintiff's attorney, appellant's attorney at the time, to concretely establish the connection between the Grove Farms project and the county's project. And she could not. She could not.
Ms. Lay says there's minutes from 2009 establish that link. What's your response to her argument?
It was not properly brought up before the court. And if the plaintiff did believe that there was some type of connection, then why did she dismiss Grove Farms from the action below? If she thought that it was in fact a connected project and one interconnected system.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Ms. Kauai, does the record reflect that Grove Farms is paying for part of the refitting of the pipes? And if they are paying for part of it, is that the connection?
I believe that they are required to pay or reimburse the county for certain improvements that the county is doing. I'm not sure if it's with respect to this transmission line project, but the county is purchasing water from the surface water treatment plant currently, and it's not extracted.
Not for the water, but for the project itself. Is Grove Farms paying for part of the sewage, the replacement of the water main part? Are they paying for one third of it?
I'm not quite sure. Justice.
Yeah, I thought they were paying for a third of it or $1 million. But, you know, you're talking about the efficiency of the new 18-inch line. And, I mean, it seems like that would be making it more easy for more water to be taken. But your position is that doesn't also make it reasonably foreseeable that more water will actually be used. And that sort of upends what, you know, common sense and even before Adam Smith's supply and demand and human nature suggests that something's efficient, cheap, easy. And I know you used that water container example in your response to the amicus brief, but if something's easy and useful, I mean, people are going to want more of it. And how does common sense not suggest that additional withdrawals are reasonably foreseeable?
Well, the county has a duty, a responsibility to provide safe drinking water to its citizens. And the problem is, currently, with time, the existing 12-inch line is corroding, is not providing enough water to even provide for the needs of the existing community.
So the line makes it more efficient, but it does suggest that because it's more efficient, there will be more water circulating down from the upstreams. And that, to me, suggests that it's reasonably foreseeable that there will be growth-inducing effects. And can you tell me why that isn't a genuine factual dispute that would undermine the order granting summary judgment.
Sure. One of the things that the court looked at below is the fact that the lines feeding this particular segment of pipes remains the same. It's remaining 16 inch. There is no more larger draw going from the various sources to this relief line. It remains 16 inch. So the amount of water that's flowing through 16-inch pipeline remains the same.
Is it unusual to have a larger diameter relief line than the main lines? Doesn't it suggest that the other lines will also subsequently increase?
I don't know.
That wouldn't be a reasonable, foreseeable view.
If I could just follow up on Justice Eden's question about reasonably foreseeable. I think there isn't any dispute that there's an anticipation of up to 2.36 million gallons a day more going through the surface water treatment plant than before the pipe is planned, correct? The capacity goes up, so you can have at least 2.36 million gallons a day more.
What we're contractually obligated to purchase is 2 million gallons per day.
So that... additional 2.36, do you think that it's foreseeable that it could be used to complete the development plan for Kauai?
It is available, but not necessarily the only source. There are other sources of water from...
I guess that's another question that could be asked. Are there other sources? But we're talking about this source. So
right. It's one of 18 sources of water.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying in terms of reasonable foreseeability, what is your thought about what 2.36 million would be used for that would exclude completing the development plan?
I don't think necessarily that the county needs to purchase all 2.36 million gallons per day. It's a source that's available to service its Hawaii citizens.
Won't the county need more water if it completes the development plan, 500-acre development plan?
And I believe that the development plan and the land use plans address that particular issue.
That seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, that seems to be fairly well established in the record that a lot of this water would be used for that purpose.
It would go to the water supply
through the surface water treatment.
Right. It would be, and again, it would be used for domestic water sources, which is a public trust use. But what I think...
So why isn't that reasonably foreseeable?
Because I think it's hypothetical and speculative at this point as to whether or not this particular development plan by a particular certain time will need all this water.
So isn't there, the argument is that the record establishes that there's a close link between this line and the expansion of the plant. That's what I understood Ms. Lay to be arguing and Ms. Asaki. Doesn't the record suggest that is, in fact, the reason or a reason for this line and that those plans are anticipated or the expansion of that plant anticipated?
I believe the water plans address a whole bunch of different types of water transmission improvement projects throughout the island. And what they are trying to do is establish a link between somehow this surface water treatment plant owned by Grove Farm and the county's relief line. Essentially, what the appellants are arguing here is that the county needs to look at an island-wide. And what they argue below, actually, is that for every time the county does a repair and maintenance project on its water transmission line, we have to do an environmental assessment. And that was what they argued before the circuit court. The circuit court posed some questions to...
So I'm trying to understand, are you saying factually this is not going to be a predicate for the expansion of the plant, or it doesn't matter?
It has an independent utility apart from the surface water treatment plant.
Is this line necessary for the surface water treatment plant to be expanded?
I don't know, because that is a Grove Farm development. In other words,
an EA would not be required for the expansion of the Waiaki Surface Water Treatment Plant?
I wouldn't know if the county plans to do any type of improvements that would trigger a Chapter 343, then they would have to be required to do a Chapter 343 job.
And what is the current status of the expansion?
I don't know, because that's a global farm development.
You know, Ms. Gray, and circling back to my earlier question, and I know you dispute the fact that the 18-inch main will increase water withdrawals, but really, isn't that just factual dispute that means that summary judgment shouldn't have been granted? Just the debate about whether it will indeed increase water withdrawals or diversions? How is that not a factual dispute?
Because the plaintiffs could not provide any evidence or any facts to the circuit court to establish that there was in fact going to be an increase in surface water withdrawals.
Isn't there reasonable inferences such as what we've been talking about the Waiahi expansion that Justice McKenna was just talking about? I mean, isn't the court allowed to make reasonable inferences from the facts to determine whether or not a case is just kneecapped through summary judgment?
And the circuit court attempted to get that information from the appellant's counsel when the issue was raised, and appellant's counsel could not provide that information.
What about just providing, as I suggested, common sense? If it's bigger, there'll be greater withdrawals.
And that was not necessarily a argument that the circuit court found as persuasive.
Did they make that argument?
Did appellants make that argument? The appellants tried to make the argument that there was somehow increased surface water withdrawal. When asked for that information, the appellant couldn't provide that information.
I understood there were minutes that were part of the record that dealt with KDOW and some of their interactions with Grove. And that's why I want to ask Ms. Lay about the relationship between Grove and KDOW and how that plays into our analysis that I thought was somewhat important. I mean, what's your take? Does it really matter who these actors were and their relationship to each other?
I think there are separate projects being undertaken by separate parties for different purposes.
So there are multiple actors, in your view?
There are separate actors, in my view. KDOW and Grove Farms are two separate entities undertaking two separate projects. Now, whether or not our project is dependent on Grove Farms project, it's not.
But Grove Farm is paying $1 million out of the $3 million.
That's a reimbursement of facilities costs that any type of developer has to pay whenever they have to.
So you're in line for support the independent utility test, right?
That's correct.
Now, I asked Ms. Isaki about the Ninth Circuit case, which talks about evaluating both projects, evaluating each of the projects. What's your stance on that?
I think even if you apply that particular test to both projects, each project stands alone. That if Grove Farms needs to improve their project, separate and apart from anything else, then they would have to do that analysis independent of ours. Our project needs to address existing realities, which is a hydraulic deficiency in the line.
You know, the EA does say that the relief line does not increase source and storage in the Lihue area. The proposed relief line will not increase withdrawal of water. But it does go on to say it is necessary to address the current system limitations. Addressing the current system limitation through increasing the size of the pipe may result in the availability of additional transmission capacity. Such additional capacity would be available to future development, subject to the water system standards.
Right, it'd be transmission capacity,
right,
not storage capacity. So in other words, right now,
that additional transmission capacity, you can't expand the water from upstream coming down, right? The amount of water coming down. So I'm really having difficulty understanding why the super ferry analysis does not apply here and why this is not a secondary impact.
Well, first of all, super ferry, I think, is a little bit different, because in super ferry, they didn't even attempt to do an environmental assessment.
Right.
In that particular this case, we did an environmental assessment and tried to take a hard look at the impacts of the transmission line project on the environment. And what appellants are arguing here is that we should have done a system-wide analysis of our entire system. That was what was argued below. The circuit court did not buy that argument.
Could I get yes. back to sure. this more limited, it seems, focus of the county to enlarge the water delivery system sufficiently to deliver 2.36 million gallons more than it's delivering, correct? That's the capacity. So let's assume the capacity is what the record seems to indicate, in addition to 2.36 million. Would you concede that if it's reasonably foreseeable that this additional capacity would be used, that then there should be an analysis that would determine the environmental impact, particularly with respect to the diversion of whatever streams are necessary or whatever type of change in the environmental effects of the delivery of water to the surface water treatment plant? And under Article 12, Section 7, would you concede at that point there should be some analysis of whether it's affecting customary Hawaiian rights?
Your question poses some assumptions that I beg to differ. I think the first assumption is that somehow the increase in the 18-inch diameter, which is being fed by 16-inch pipes, somehow increases water capacity to provide more water to customers, rather than how fast the water can flow through the lines, which is the problem right now.
It seems that it enables over 2 million gallons a day of water to be delivered that wasn't being delivered before the enlargement.
Well, currently we're allowed to provide the same amount of water under existing circumstances. Yeah,
move beyond my question, and I'm sorry if it's being confusing, but I'm asking you to accept the proposition that this would be reasonably foreseeable that you have another 2.3 million gallons moving through the pipe that you didn't have before the pipe through the park. In that case, would you concede that there does need to be an analysis of the environmental impacts with respect to customary
I would argue that the same amount of water that is going through now and the same amount of water that will be going through in the future will be the same. It's just that you now have a different pipe system to deliver that water more efficiently. So it's the speed of the water going through the pipes, not necessarily the amount of water necessarily going through the pipes.
Ms. Kawaya, I'd like you to explain something to me. I think I'm not quite getting something. You're saying that just because the pipe is going to be larger and it might be accessible to the development, the Grove Farm development in the future, that does not mean that Grove Farm will be using this pipe to access water. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. That's an
okay.
Assumption.
Well, does the water that goes through this pipe come from the treatment facility that Grove Farm owns?
It's the Grove Farm's surface water treatment plant is one of 18 sources of water.
The water that goes through this particular pipe comes from 18 different sources?
Yes, and it's identified in the environmental assessment.
Yes, and in terms of the EA, could you point to where it points out what the 18 sources are and how much water comes through from each of those sources?
So section 5.5 of the FPA identifies 13 wells and one surface water treatment. So it identifies, and it actually identifies it by areas. So in Puhi area, it's Puhi wells number 1, 3, and 4, Puhi wells number 5A and 5B. in the Honolulu area.
And how much water is coming through the pipe?
I don't have that information.
If all 18 sources come through the pipe, then Grove Farm will definitely take water from this pipe. You said that it won't necessarily come from this pipe. It might be from 18, there are 18 other sources, but if all the sources feed into this pipe, they will necessarily take water from this.
Right. This pipe is not meant to necessarily provide water to Grove Farms development. It's necessary to provide water to the existing developments in the area.
Including Grove Farm.
Grove Farm is just one of many. There's also Wilcox Hospital, there are schools, there are existing residences. So if you are accepting the appellant's arguments that this somehow will feed Grove Farm's future development, perhaps, but it also needs to be installed to serve current customers that are hamstring right now for fire safety reasons, safe drinking water purposes, by a 12-inch pipe.
So is it your position that there would be a new environmental assessment and determination whether there is a need for an environmental impact statement once additional water is being used beyond what is presently being
used? If there's a trigger, in other words, Grove Farm is going to be requesting additional water usage through the Grove Farms, through their surface water treatment plant.
Necessarily assuming it's Grove Farms. I mean, just an assumption being that there's a growth that's anticipated, I guess, by this pipe, and the record seems to indicate that there's going to be significant growth, at least to 2 million gallons worth. At what point does that growth trigger, from your point of view, if at all, the need for an environmental assessment?
Well, there's land use plans and development plans that the county undertakes. And all of those
land use plans have been put together, and there's been a determination of a water use plan as well. And the water use plan is part of the reason, as I understand it, for the application by the county, because the water use plan is suggesting more water is used. Right?
Well, the land use plan anticipates so much growth and controls the growth. This particular infrastructure facility is basically designed to address existing growth, but that's the problem. It's behind schedule to replace a 45-year-old pipe. So at some point, we have to replace a 45-year-old pipe.
Right. Now, you don't believe that this additional water that would be available were it to be needed, this additional water, 2 million gallons a day, you don't believe that that would be utilized for future development and in expansion.
So I guess the way I'm looking at it, the way you're looking at more water going through the pipes. What I'm looking at is basically water.
I'm not necessarily looking at it that way. I'm trying to interpret the record. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that, and that's why I'm asking your help, it seems to me that the record anticipates growth of at least 2 million gallons is going to be needed. If that's the case, at what point would you say, if at all, there needs to be an environmental assessment when the water use starts increasing beyond the status quo?
I think at some point, when more water is drawn from a stream source and Chapter 343 is triggered through some mechanism, then that would have to be looked at. But the primary purpose of this project is to address a system deficiency.
Well, that's your interpretation of Chapter 343, that you wait until the water is actually being drawn from the stream.
I guess at some point you have to not speculate, and it comes down to a concrete improvement.
But isn't there at least a question of fact as to the imminence of this expansion of the plant? I mean, that's what I understand them to be saying. They've put in minutes from meeting that seems to reflect that. There are references in the record from the environmental assessment itself that repeatedly refer to, you know, future potential for future growth. Isn't that enough to raise a question of fact?
Yes, but those go back to 2009 and minutes, and this is something that I heard 2018. It's just minutes that are related to different improvement projects that they just took a small snippet of.
So you think the record, there's not enough evidence on the record to establish that there in fact is
a correlation.
A linkage?
There's no correlation between the two.
But if there was such a linkage in the record, then you would concede that this EA was inadequate.
If there's sufficient evidence in the record, which was not established in the circuit court below, that there is a linkage between the two facilities, then I would concede that
there should be in approving this pipe, there should be consideration of what the implications of expanding the plant would be.
Right. But again, that was not before the circuit court and not before, not presented to the department at the time of comments.
Weren't the minutes? I'm sorry. I thought the minutes were presented. I thought the comments.
And the responses, and there was responses to those comments regarding the relationship. And they maintained that there was no relationship between the two.
Any further thoughts for the court tonight? I know we haven't talked about the question of records outside of, or reference to records that aren't readily available to the public. You can address that briefly if you'd like, or anything else.
First of all, that issue was never raised before the circuit court on appeal, and it didn't seem to be a problem by the appellants before the circuit court. They had access to those documents. It was a linkable with public documents. And so we're here now wondering why is this now being raised by a third outside party?
I thought they did raise it below, but they didn't appeal the issue. So that point is, I understand the point. Please finish your argument, but also could you also address the permit issue quickly? Please finish with the Chief Justice's question.
Chief Justice, can you repeat your question?
Well, it wasn't great. I think you understand what you're saying. It wasn't raised or adequately preserved, the issue of the records. What about the issue of required permitting for this project?
I believe that it was actually required permitting for water extraction.
Right.
What we discussed is we were not extracting water. We were acquiring water or purchasing water from the surface water treatment plant. We weren't in the business of extracting water. We don't own surface water treatment plant that is, processing water through their system. So, and if they had issues with extraction, they should have raised it to another entity, not to the circuit court.
Very well. Anything further for the court at this time?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. White. Okay, Mr. Collins. Rebuttal. Proceed.
Aloha. The Kia'i most importantly want to note that in exhibit one to the first MSJ on page 272 of the first volume of the Record on Appeal, Grove Farm representatives represented at a KDAL meeting. The question is it an upgrade or is it an expansion? They felt that it was a pure expansion. They had been telling the department that they can take water if they need up to 3 million now. He added that they could expand the plant now and provide them more water now, but they need source credits in order to do the expansion. And then there are issues about transmission. So with respect to, is this just routine maintenance or is this an expansion? This project is an expansion. This is not a case of repainting an old government building and the environmental impacts of the paint is something that's de minimis. This is an expansion of water availability in the Lihue area. It said in the EA that the Lihue development plan is under the secondary impact section, but then the EA says it won't be considered because the Lihue development plan is not occurring at this moment within the footprint of the pipeline. But that does not follow the rule at 11-200-2 for the definition of secondary impacts or secondary effects.
Mr. Collins, may I ask a question? May I ask you a question, Mr. Collins? I'm sorry. Further to what Justices Wilson and Edens asked, what do you want? Summary judgment was granted. If we set aside the summary judgment, it goes back to the environmental court. And what is it, what is the relief that you want?
The Kia'i are asking that this court remand to the trial court determination of the issue of injunctive relief, with instructions to further remand to the agency to prepare an EIS or to prepare a revised DA that reconsiders whether an EIS is required.
Did you move for that at the circuit court? For you didn't move for summary judgment, or you didn't move for a remand, did you?
Your Honor, the circuit court granted summary judgment in favor of
Right. So when you go back, the summary, I understand that. The summary judgment is set aside. And you want us here to tell the circuit court to remand when you actually haven't asked the circuit court for remand?
Well, Your Honor, we believe under Rule 56 in Flint versus McKenzie that this is an issue, these are errors of law. And the court, in reversing those errors of law, there would be no need other than for the issue of whether injunctive relief is appropriate. For the rest of the legal issues, there would be no need for further proceedings in the circuit court, and it could be remanded to the agency.
Mr. Collins, you're not asking for a new environmental assessment. You're asking for a determination that an environmental impact statement has to be prepared, correct?
Yes.
So what does that look like? What are the parameters of this EIS? Are you talking about the consequences, the environmental impacts of an additional drawdown, an increase in the volume of water and the impact on the streams? And if so, what figures are you thinking of?
Well, Your Honor, I think environmental impact statement would have to consider more than just the footprint of this 2-mile pipeline. It would have to consider the impacts that were caused from taking additional water out of stream, the dewatering of the streams, but also the on the other side of the pipe, where all of this additional water is going to go to.
At a minimum,
I believe the record says it's 2.0, more than 2 million gallons of water a day. Yeah. And Your Honor, just to note, in Exhibit 4 to the third MSJ, there was a letter, it's the NPDES letter, and the report said that expansion was slated for the Waiahi surface water treatment plant. And so I just want to draw the court's attention to how this case is different than the Sierra Club versus BLM case that was cited during our opening. And in that case, what had occurred was a private wind energy developer proposed to put wind turbines on federal land and use a federal road. However, when the Sierra Club opposed that, they reworked it so that there would be no wind turbines on federal land, and that they demonstrated that there was a feasible alternative to building a road entirely on private land. So in that instance, the BLM was able to make the determination that that project could go forward without triggering NEPA. But in this case, there is no purpose for this transmission line other than to increase capacity in the Waiahi surface water treatment plant. Pipes age and so forth, but you know, if you have a 2-lane road and you put a 4-lane road and you just say, well, the additional capacity is really just for pleasure driving, I think it sort of defies common sense to make that argument. This is a massively bigger pipe, and it's going to be bringing in millions of gallons of additional water a day. And in the EA, it specifically cites to the Lihue Development Plan, and it's 515 acres as a secondary impact that it then doesn't consider. Also, we wanted to note that there are three sources of water for the Waiahi surface water treatment facility. For the Lihue area, there's the Waiahi surface water treatment plant, the Pukaki well and also the Hanamaulu source. The 18 sources of water that are referred to in the EA are the Lihue plantations, the historic irrigation system that has no authorization under 171.58 to be taking any of the water. Those are the, of those 18 sources, that's what the 18 sources are referring to. It's 51 miles of irrigation ditches that are sourced from 18 different areas. But for this thing, we're, for the water that's coming into the Waiahi Surface Water Treatment Plant, it's not coming from all 18 of those sources. But of course, none of that is discussed in the EA because the EA did not consider any of these clearly connected and foreseeable impacts that are connected to increasing transmission and increasing the capacity of water.
Mr. Collins, I have two questions. One, did you just say that Ms. Kauai was not correct? All 18 sources don't go through this pipe?
The 18 sources have to do with the 51 miles of the Lihue plantation irrigation system, but not all 18 will end up going through this pipe.
Okay. What do you say to Ms. Kauai's argument that if it's determined that an EIS is needed for this, every time they want to replace a pipe, there has to be an EIS?
Well, Your Honor, you were not finished. This is not, as I said, this is not an issue of repainting an old government building. This is not like, well, you know, the paint's chipping, so we're going to paint it in, you know, a new color, or we're going to procure, you know, more toilet paper because we're out in the bathrooms. This is increasing the capacity of the system by, you know, more than 2 million, almost 3 million gallons of water per day. So this is not a, you know, there may be, you know, there might be the case where it's like, well, is this a repainting of the building? Or
This is not an exemption case.
This is not an exemption case at all. Absolutely. But this isn't close to an exemption case. The only way that the agency was able to make the FONSI determination was basically by excluding all of the information that it's required to by law to consider in this case. And as I had, it was saying about Sierra Club versus the Board of Land Management, in that case, the Board of Land Management was able to demonstrate that the project could occur without using any federal lands, and so it had independent utility. In this case,
Mr. Collins, what do you think about that test? Isn't it better than the independent utility test from your vantage point? Maybe not in this particular case, but overall.
Well, I think it doesn't exactly track either the rules or the statute. Of course, NEPA has, there are certain differences about NEPA.
What about the necessary precedent? Does that align with the Sierra Club case?
Well, in the Sierra Club case, the holding was that there's a technically and economically feasible alternative that basically excluded the wind part of the project the wind project was completely excluded and the road project could be excluded because they had the alternative that was technically and economically feasible.
Okay, I guess what I'm sort of getting at is at least that Ninth Circuit test takes into consideration both parts versus just, for example, in this case, the 18-inch main. Isn't it fairer to look at both projects or both actions versus just one?
In Sierra Club, they didn't look at, well, Sierra Club was saying the wind project should be considered and not be segmented out. But the trial court in that case and then the Ninth Circuit said no, because under the how NEPA is interpreted, the fact that there was this alternate way of using private land for the road purposes.
I'm just getting at the holding. The holding in that case seems to lend an upper hand, let's say, in some of these inquiries versus the independent utility test. Or not. Maybe not. Maybe I misinterpret the case.
Well, Your Honor, I apologize that, you know, my understanding of Sierra Club versus BLM focuses mostly on how the Fox deference to changes in agency policy are and how that affects NEPA. And I'm not as familiar with the aspect
of that. You're right. That's a huge component of that case. Thank you.
Mr. Collins, your time is up, but I want to give you a chance just to say any very brief closing remarks for the court.
Thank you, Your Honor. In conclusion, the Kiai asked this court to sustain its appeal by reversing the circuit court's grants of summary judgment in favor of the county because the FEA failed to identify and address impacts on public resources, such as water and endangered species. The FEA failed to adequately comply with Kapa'akai duties. The FEA was produced without complying with public comment procedures. Chapter 54 does not authorize the county to obtain water for its waterworks, contrary to HRS 17158. The FEA failed to disclose information received from consulted agencies. The FEA failed to identify all government approvals needed to possess water for pipelines. The FEA improperly segmented the proposed water line part of the action. And injunctive relief, if appropriate, must be determined by reweighing the factors based upon a correct understanding of the law. As I indicated earlier, the Kiai requests this court to remand to the trial court to determine the issue of injunctive relief with instructions to further remand to the agency to prepare an EIS or to prepare a revised EA that reconsiders whether an EIS is required. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you so much, Mr. Collins, for your argument. Thank you to all of our attorneys. And really, the court really appreciates you coming here tonight for our argument. We'll be taking this matter under advisement, but I did want to just take this opportunity to thank the William S. Richardson School of Law for welcoming us here. It is so good to be back here in person after these very long 2 years. We have a strong bonds between the law school and the Supreme Court, stretching back to Chief Justice Richardson and his vision for this school and the sense of aloha that he brought to both of our institutions. So it's really, anytime we're here, it's a special time for us. I'm so grateful to everyone here who made it possible for us to come, the administration, students who've been helping us tonight. I want to thank Dean Nelson, Associate Dean Tricia Nakamura, Tracy Sir, Carrie Carolyn, Benny Au, Liam Skilling, and I see Dean Soifer up there as well. We want to thank everyone who's worked so hard to make it possible for us to be here. I do want to note, it's particularly special for us when we're able to be here when there are students from the evening part-time program, and we're very grateful for that opportunity here tonight. And I do want to thank the folks on our court staff who worked hard to make this possible, Kurt Shibata, Ian Tapu, and others. So again, we're very, very grateful for this opportunity. We thank you all for being here tonight. And again, the court will take this matter under advisement.
This Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii is now adjourned.